Good evening and welcome to another episode of Bubba's Garage. I hope you guys are having a fabulous day. Today, this is the Bubba and Bobby Show. That's what we like to call it right here on Bubba's Garage.
Bubba and Bobby.
If you are watching or joining the replay, feel free to join us live each and every Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time on both Facebook as well as YouTube. Tonight, we have a special guest, Kevin Ryder, the CEO and founder of Wilderness Safety Institute. He is joining us right here tonight because, to be honest with you guys, he's going to beat the crap out of our first aid kit, our pack that we actually carry, and the 2017 Jeep Wrangler Winter Edition. As you guys know, we just got back from the trip out West Texas into Big Bend country. And, we check our pack. We load it up with what we think we need. But I think Kevin is here to tell us that we're doing it all wrong. I think so.
I have a feeling. I have a really good feeling that's what's going to come from it.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes.
But, you know, I'm excited about it, Kevin, because the thing is we're no pros. You know, everybody out there that does camping or goes overlanding or things like that, they all know that they got to have a med kit, right? The problem is do they really know what they need in it? You know, and I think that's where you come in, Kevin. So, Kevin, before we start all of this, babe, you had something? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people who overland, including us, that, you know, there's some things that you just don't think about it if you don't do it for a career.
Right. So Mayhem Country is living. It says hello, all. You know, I need to check out their YouTube channel. I mentioned that the last series, and I did not do that. And it's just because when you go to play the video back, you only see those comments in the live stream. So Hello, hope you're doing well. Before we get started too far, I want to give Kevin this opportunity to go ahead and give us a little bit of intro about Kevin and what Wilderness Safety Institute is all about.
Sure. And again, thanks for having me on. This is a great opportunity. I think we're all going to learn a little bit. Some hopefully maybe more than others.
Yeah, me.
So I'm the CEO and training director for the Wilderness Safety Institute. And primarily what we do is training in wilderness first aid. Everything from a basic wilderness first aid class, which is maybe 16 hours, all the way through an 80-hour wilderness first responder course. And we're going to be coming out with a few online courses here coming up soon.
Wow, exciting.
And then we'll do talks out to Quartzsite, Arizona. I've done talks out there. I've given talks to university hospitals. I've trained a whole bunch of people from all over. And I like to think of it as just common sense.
Yeah,
it's not difficult. It's not, you don't need to have a master's or a PhD. I try to keep it simple. And here's the real life stuff you need to know.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, I've done a little bit of background research. I've checked out your website, and I don't think you give yourself enough credit, Kevin. So you got a huge background, 30 plus, if not 40 years, right?
40 plus years.
Yeah. So he's definitely going to destroy our med kit. So guys, I want to say Mayhem, Cody, Sandy, everyone, thank you so much for joining our live stream tonight. If you have some questions or if anyone has questions for Kevin, definitely post them down below. We're going to be going through this med kit. We're going to be destroying it, and we're going to be replacing it with all the stuff that we probably don't have right here on Bubba's Garage. So babe, you're going to create a list of things that we're going to have to go.
Should I get out a piece of paper and a pencil?
We're going to have to go and purchase. But, you know, I want to mention a couple of things. Some of our overland community and folks that we are communicate with on a daily basis, these are hot topics. This is very important information that most of us don't think of, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's with a lot of things. You know, you can't prepare for everything if you don't do it for a living, right?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest, and this is terrible, but I'm going to be honest. You know, of all the trips that we've taken in our time, we've probably opened our med kit once, maybe twice, for the occasional for the occasional. Well, but let me back up, Kevin. I see it. I love it. But hold on a minute. Let me back up. I mean, you know, outside of checking to make sure it had contents for the trip, and contents is, I think, the bigger question. We've really only grabbed like a Band-Aid or two out of it.
And a Band-Aid or two, maybe the occasional Ibuprofen,
Advil, something like that. And that's about it. But I think the thing here is, you know, we're planning this trip around the United States. We're going all the way east. We're going all the way up north just before Canada. And then we're going out west, and then we're coming back down to South Central Texas. That's a lot of area to cover, right? There are so many things that could go wrong.
And I guess to add to that, we've just been blessed that's all that we've had to open the med kit for on our trips. I mean, we are.
Very true. Very true. And not just us running into problems or obstacles. It could be other people, right? So, and those people may not be prepared. So being prepared is huge and it's key. And I think it's going to be important to changing up our kit over our next trip, which is coming up here really soon. Babe, you know, I don't know if you should just unzip it and like stick your hand in and just grab something out or throw it behind you so Kevin doesn't see it.
All right, here we go.
This is the kit, guys. This is the kit that we carry on every single one of our trips for the most part. I mean, we change it up, but we don't change it up that much. I mean, we don't change it up per our destination. We don't do any of that. It is our, what do you want to call it? It's kind of like the core stuff we go to. The core stuff that we want to carry, I guess. You know, as long as I don't get a headache, Kevin, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, I'm
good. The stuff that we might think we could possibly need, but so, like I said, if you don't know, you don't know, right?
I'm gonna
so you don't
you
think
right,
about it.
You've got that kit open and it's in front of you right now. I got one question.
It's in front of me open right now.
I got
now.
One question. Does it got toilet paper? Because, I mean, I need some toilet paper.
We have some triangular bandages.
Good.
Does that work, Kevin?
That's good.
That's good?
Have right, as so many as you can fit in there, yep.
Okay, so Kevin, talk to us a little bit about that. So, babe, pull those out. Let's talk about them. What are those? What are those?
So a triangular bandage. I actually have one here. It's a big triangle.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay, it's really, really big, and it's just a triangle, and you can use this for so many different things.
Okay,
you know, you can use this for let's say you get out on the trail and you're hiking and you're somebody's in front of you, and they walk past a branch and they don't hold it and the branch comes back and smash you in the face maybe you get something in your eye. Okay. So what you can do with this is you can roll it up and you could actually make a donut roll to put over your eye to cushion it so you can stabilize whatever that foreign object is from moving. Because what happens when, you know, if you cover one eye and you look the other way, what happens? This eye still moves.
Yeah, right.
And
right,
you don't want that to happen. So it could be used for, you know, a sling. If you fracture
your
something in
fracture.
Your arm, you can sling your arm. You can swathe it. You can use this as a compression bandage. There's so many. You can tie things together with it. I have hundreds of these things. You use them for everything.
So, would you say then that would be something that you would highly recommend in pretty much any med kits? Then is a large triangle bandage.
What I do is when I build my kit. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that here in a little bit.
Okay.
Once I get all the contents that I know I need, I close my kit. I find out how much spare room I have. And I fill the entire bag with as many triangular bandages as I can fit. Okay. I mean, they come in, you know, here's one I still have from the military. It's still good, you know, olive drab. But I'll shove as many of these as I can possibly fit. Because there's been times where... Think about it. Let's say you're walking on the trail and you break your leg.
Yeah.
If you're going to splint your leg and you're going to tie one of these things around your leg about every that far, you're going to go through.
You need a lot of them.
10 of them really quick.
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather have a lot more and not need all of them than not bring enough with me to get the job done.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
Wow. That's true. So the first thing you grab out of that med kit we won, this is not Bubba's Garage, because typically it's a founder.
Well, so you we're not done yet. So
I'm waiting
for
it.
Time.
I know it's coming, right? All right, babe. So what else we got in that kit?
We got
let me ask you a question while you're going through that.
Sure, absolutely.
Do you carry any medications in there?
We do,
actually.
Bobby, so if you would be so kind as to close your eyes.
Uh-oh.
And
pull out the medication from your bag.
Okay.
I think this is
without looking.
Without looking, babe. Without looking. He said without looking. Don't be peeking.
That doesn't feel like medication.
If it's probably not medication, then that's probably told medication. I think I know where Kevin's going with this.
This is at night, right?
I'm not peeking.
You forgot to bring your flashlight with you on the trail, or your batteries died, or whatever the case is. You have to get into your kit, and you can't see.
Wow.
You don't know where your stuff is. You know, what do you have?
That's a good point.
I mean, a lot of it is being prepared, carrying the right stuff in addition to the medical gear, making sure you have a flashlight, a good pen, paper, you know, all the other stuff.
Right.
But the other part is knowing where everything is. You don't want to have to think, where did I put this? Because if you need a tourniquet in a hurry, you don't want to have to spend 4 minutes trying to find a tourniquet.
Yeah.
It's especially
at night.
Four
right?
minutes, I mean, it's you can bleed out in 3 minutes.
Wow.
From a severe enough arterial bleed, you don't want to spend 4 minutes looking for a tourniquet, because now, you know, it's too late.
Right. And for you guys that are listening remotely or are listening to the replay after the fact, how many of you actually thought about that? How many actually know where everything is in your med kit? This is just proof right here on Bubba's Garage. I mean, how many people actually practice that? You know, I'm sure that's one of the things that Kevin teaches in his class, probably the basic class, I'm guessing, right, Kevin? You should know your kits. You should study your kits. I'm definitely guilty of that, so I greatly apologize. But that's why we have Kevin with us here today. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. So
and that's why it's a good thing that you didn't go through it, because if you did, you'd be like, oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't want to do that because I wanted to be as real as possible. We're normal, everyday folks, just like most of you listening live right here on Bubba's Garage. And these are real world problems that most people don't think about. And I think Kevin is going to bring a lot of that to light tonight. And we're gonna basically look at these things a little bit differently, you know?
Yeah.
So, babe, what else do we got in that kit?
Great. Go ahead and you can open your eyes now and cheat. Go ahead and pull out your medications and see what you have in there.
You know, I was looking for them, and I don't see them in here.
Well, we've already failed.
I really don't.
Okay,
hold on. Were they in there last year?
But I think the reason for that is whenever we prepare for a trip, I pull out the med kit, and I go through it, and we just put, like, a bottle of ibuprofen, so it doesn't expire because we haven't used it. So I think that's why we don't have any in here right now.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Bobby's responsible for the med kit. So everything from here on out that fails, it's her fault. But yeah, I think you're right. Kevin, honestly, we usually carry allergy meds, and it's ibuprofen, right? Not Advil. So
ibuprofen, chapstick.
No, don't give them a list.
Benadryl is a good thing to have in there as well.
Which one?
Benadryl.
Benadryl. Okay, for like allergies.
Yeah. It has more uses than people realize. But yeah, I mean, if you can get the little, like the old Pepto-Bismol pink tablets, the chewables. Those are great to have as well.
Okay.
What you can do is, if you have some Vaseline, say you get, you know, a rash or something, little nicks you, and it starts to bother you, you can take Vaseline and you take two of those little Benadryl tablets, crush them up, mix it in with the Vaseline, and put that on there.
Wow.
And that'll be the itching and no, that's a tip. I like to give credit for where I pick things up, and that's a tip to Dr. Ben Abo. Quick shout out. He is the medical director for Venom 1 and Venom 2 down in Florida.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
He's an awesome guy.
That's really good.
Yeah. Cody McGee just said Poison Ivy as well.
Yep.
Poison Ivy as well. Okay, good. Yeah. That's good. Honestly, that's good to know, because I am allergic to both Poison Oak and Poison Ivy. For sure. That I know. Bobby and Shelby, we haven't figured that one out yet. We don't know if they're allergic or not. We just try to stay away from it because I'm scared.
And I don't know that I want to find out.
So that's really good to
know.
Not
on purpose anyways.
So are you saying that, you know, some of the Benadryl pills, you know, the little tablet ones with some Vaseline, mm-hmm. you put that on, it will help with the itching and stuff like that.
So the Vaseline holds it on the actual affected area. So it's a concentrated dose rather than eating it.
But that's something we have to have in every single med kit, because when you're talking about exploring, let's make it simple. State parks is one thing, right? But when you talk about national forests, which is 90% of everything that we like to do, you're going to run into that stuff like crazy all over the place. Wow. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So we do not have any drugs in our med kit at all at this point in time.
But that's not a good thing, right, though, now. Because if that's been sitting in your vehicle in the heat, you don't want it sitting in the vehicle in your heat. You want it indoors, and then make sure you add it in before you leave.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's back, basically
take it out.
That's basically what I do, is any medications I pack right before we're ready to leave, rather than keeping them in the med kit. But I actually thought we had a couple little, you know, those little packets of like ibuprofen and Tylenol, and stuff like that. Yeah, but we don't. So I guess it's a good thing that I've been around.
One thing I was going to ask you, he was like, "Oh, if they're there, when do they expire?" People say, "Oh, I put them in here last year. They expired 5 years ago." Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's
if they're in a med kit, that's easy to have happen too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think, and maybe I'm misspeaking, but I think a lot of people would actually, you know, they buy the tablets in the little packets, right? The two in each packet, and they'll use those packets as part of their med kit. But at the same time, you're right, right? I mean, if they're sitting in there for 5 years, they could be no good by now.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if it's, you know, down here in Texas.
Oh.
If you're sitting outside in your vehicle in the summer.
Yeah, right, the heat can actually change the chemical compound of the pills as well.
Well, so this episode is going a lot better for me than I expected it to be. So
far, we're not done yet.
But we're on Kevin's. We're not.
Don't
done
get
yet.
Too excited. We're not done yet.
Okay,
so we're on number three. We failed. We failed one so far, and we got two halfway.
This is a failure. See, this is not a pass-fail thing. This is a let's identify the changes that need to be made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then going forward, you'll be better off.
Right. That's so far, I got on my list over here, I got triangle band-aids. Triangle band-aids, not band-aids. I don't want to call them band-aids. What do you call them?
So they're called triangular bandages or just cravats.
Oh, cravats. Yeah.
Either name means the same thing.
We need a lot of those.
You can go to CVS and get a box of them for $5 or $6.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because how many we have? One?
One. We have two.
Two. Oh, well, that's a good start.
We have two.
All right, babe, show us what else we got in that kit. Good stuff.
Well, let me see. We have sterile burn dressing.
Cool.
Which has not expired. But in all honesty,
I knew what I was gonna
I haven't
ask
looked at that. I haven't looked at that. But we do have one burn dressing.
We just checked it just now.
Let me ask you this. Do you know how to use it? Do you know how to apply it?
Great question, Kevin. I'm going to pass that right on to Bobby.
Now, in a medical setting, I do. In the field, I would probably say more like you're going to hope you have some water and you're going to wet it down and you're going to try and keep it moist and cold so the burn can actually pull out of it.
It depends. So some already have, again, it depends on which one you have. I like the ones from Watergel. They're expensive, but I know for a fact from my personal experience, they work.
Really?
Some of the other ones, not so much. we had to replace, so quick backstory, we had a whole bunch of burn dressings on the ambulance. We had three ambulances in our little volunteer thing, and we actually had to use one once, and they didn't really work all that great. So we replaced all the burn kits on all three ambulances with the water gel stuff.
Wow.
They're pricey, but when you have somebody who has a burn bigger than that area, mm-hmm. you don't realize how much pain it causes. And yeah. depending on if it's cold outside or really hot outside or hold up in other circumstances, just the relief they get from not feeling that pain, it's worth the price that you're going to pay.
Right.
And we've actually used them. And we had a guy who was, you can't make this stuff up, heating a bowl of soup in the microwave. And he liked to have it hot. Brought the bowl into the living room, put it on the TV tray, sat down. As he was sitting down, his belt buckle caught on the edge of it,
flipped
up the bowl, and he had hot,
hot soup
from here all the way down to his belt.
Wow.
And he couldn't move. He was in so much pain. Luckily, he was able to grab his phone, call 911.
Yeah.
And before we even got him into the ambulance, he was like, "This is awesome. I don't feel a thing." Because we had just gone in there and swapped it all down. It has an analgesic in there, enough to take the pain away. We got him to the hospital, and what was really angry red burn marks were kind of dull.
It had already started pulling the heat out.
He asked us for a ride back to his house because when we were leaving the hospital, they were already saying, "You're good to go. You don't even need to be here." And he was fine.
Wow.
So I've seen the thing work miracles.
And that is water gel.
Water gel. I'll send you an email, and then I'll give you, you know, all the names of where you can get this stuff.
Yeah, because this is definitely not water gel. This is nothing more than strictly a burn dressing. It's cloth.
Yeah.
For sure. So this may help, but it's not going to take away any pain. You can wet it. It might help for minor burns, is my guess, is what that sounds like.
Yeah, that's basically it's kind of a you wet it down and the burns, hope is that keep, the water will come dry.
Depending on the burn, the type of, there's different types of burn, different levels of burn, but generally you don't want to keep a burn wet.
Covered. Okay. Running water is the best.
Well, initially, but the ongoing care, you want to keep it dry.
Okay.
Yes. You don't want to use ice. You don't want to use butter. Don't use any of that stuff. I always like to say the appropriate tool for the job.
Yeah. Okay.
Get burn gel. It works. It's great. I mean, it's pricey, but when you're the one who gets the burn and has to use it, you'll be glad you spent that money.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. I got water gel / burn gel, right? Those are the two terms.
Water gel. That's the brand name, and you can get it everywhere.
Perfect.
Amazon. Yeah. I might need to have some of that on hand on a daily basis. I'm a very clumsy person. I burn myself all the time. Yep.
Well, you saw
they make the little in the kit you get, depending on which kit you get, they make the little tiny little packets for the individual use.
Okay.
They're great. I used that on my sister one time when she was something kicked up from the stove and had burned grease, hot grease that burned her chin. And in 15 minutes, you couldn't even tell she got burned.
Perfect. Perfect.
Wow. Yeah, perfect. Definitely have to try some of that out.
Yeah, I got that on my list already.
Okay, so, next item. What do you got?
We got an emergency blankie. So we have one. It's a
silver one?
It's a little silver one. Yeah.
So those are okay. The problem with those is they tend to tear when you look at them. They tear really easily.
Okay. Real thin.
I use something like this. I don't know. Let's get so you can see it without the.
Oh yeah, that looks good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Soul emergency blanket.
Soul emergency blanket.
And these tend to be a lot more durable. They don't tear nearly as easily. Now, having the ones that you have are good, but not always for their intended purpose. They're really good for signaling.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. See, I never thought of using the silver for signaling.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because think about signaling. You want to get somebody's attention. And you want, high contrast.
Yeah.
Contrasting color, movement.
Yeah.
Sound, too. But, that color doesn't really exist in nature. So you tie that down to a big stick or a branch and wave it around or leave it in the wind. It's going to flap around and get someone's attention.
Right.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So the emergency blanket that we have is really nothing more than a signal flare.
So and we got a half credit on that one, right? A half credit.
It's a lot better than having nothing. And they do work to a point.
Okay.
But there are much better things you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll call that our signal flare, babe. Can you relabel that? We'll call it a signal flare. We'll get a real blanket.
I'll relabel that a little signal.
And we need to know where it's at, right? Because if we don't know where it's at, it's not going to do us any good.
That's well, we're going to get into that part of it. We'll get into that here in a little bit.
All right. What else you got, babe? There's a lot of stuff in there.
We got some Q-tips. Not sterile, just some Q-tips.
That's for my ears. I literally use those for my ears. For real.
And those are good for applying the Benadryl with the Vaseline on. So that way you're not getting your dirty finger and now contaminating that area.
Right. Yeah, there you go. We got two different kinds of scissors. We got some shears and just some little scissors.
Good.
And let me see. We have a rain poncho.
Good.
Yeah.
Rain poncho.
You always got to have those. We've ran into too many scenarios where we needed those.
But three people, one.
Well, y'all don't get out of the car anyway when it's raining. Y'all are like, you do it. So I got to do it.
So we have over in this little pocket, we got some paper tape. Little thing of paper tape.
Good.
That's not a lot.
Hold that up again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. It's a little thing of paper tape.
You might want to get a thicker roll.
Yeah, you can probably get a whole roll of that dirt cheap.
Probably.
You can get CVS is great. You can go there. You can get a box of different sizes, different widths, paper, cloth. You got to be careful, though, with the paper tape before you use it on anybody. Take a piece and put it on, like, the inside of your elbow. And leave it there for about 5 or 10 minutes just to make sure that you don't have an allergy.
Oh, okay. Good. So, yeah. Kevin, would you recommend, is there a different purpose for paper tape versus like med tape? You know,
it's all medical tape.
It's still
whether
the same
it's paper thing. Or cloth. Okay. It depends on what you're doing, what you're securing. If you're just taping on like a little 2x2 bandage square,
right?
On your arm. That's fine. But if you have, if you got, something here where you need it to stick, you might find the cloth tape is it's more sturdy, a little bit better.
Yeah.
And if you're taping something like to a leg or to an arm that you don't want to move, for example, you want to keep you're in a really dusty area. So you have a big laceration on your arm. You can take a big, like a gallon Ziploc bag. Mm-hmm. Cut one or two sides off of it, wrap it, and then tape the ends.
Okay, yeah, I see.
To keep stuff from getting into the wound, and you can see, you can keep an eye on it to see, okay, is it getting infected? And it's easy enough, but it keeps all that grit and stuff from getting
everything
in there.
From getting in it, mm-hmm. Right.
You want something more than paper tape. Paper tape, you breathe too hard and it'll fall off.
Yeah.
The cloth tape is really good for that.
Okay.
So, let me see. We have some soap wipes and some iodine pads.
Make sure no one's allergic to iodine.
Right. And we have some antiseptic cleansing wipes.
Good.
That's a big one. That's a must
have.
How old
are they?
Yeah. What's the expiration date? 1910.
These actually don't have dates on them per se.
Sometimes you'll see a manufactured date and not an expiration date. Depends on who makes them, where you got them. They're good to have, regardless. If you pull them out and they're dry, you can use them for starting a fire.
Right.
Oh, and we have some sting relief.
Yeah.
Good.
Pads.
Yeah, I love the pads.
Don't have expiration on them either.
I love the pads. And for everybody that's following afterwards, I'll say, you can buy a lot of those pads like in a full bundle packet. And a lot of that stuff is really good regardless. of when, you know, what you do with it. And well, not what you do with it. It's just got a variety, right, Kevin? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And that's exactly where those came from. We buy the kits. Where we buy the kits for our Molly packs. And they just have a ton of different things in them. I wouldn't be surprised if you find a couple of other things still in there as well.
Yeah, we also have some alcohol pads. We actually have quite a few of those.
Good.
Alcohol pads.
So we got a question from Mayhem Country Living that says, a tourniquet and when to use. You want to answer that, Kevin?
Sure. So when you have an arterial, so they have your veins and your arteries.
Okay.
So a cut on your finger, you wouldn't use it.
Right.
And no, Darren, you can't put a tourniquet on your wife's neck.
I don't recommend that. I don't recommend that at all.
So typically what you do to stop bleeding is the first thing you always do is direct pressure. Once you put on your pair of gloves that I haven't seen you pull out of there yet.
Oh, we got that.
That should have been right on the top. Just saying. Okay. So put your gloves on first and then direct pressure. Okay. You put direct pressure on it. If it still doesn't stop bleeding, if it's still bleeding with direct pressure, that's when typically you'll want to use a tourniquet. Now, obviously, you can't put a tourniquet around someone's torso, but you can use it mainly on the limbs. And you want to put it, I like to use two fingers above where the site of bleeding is.
Right.
And you tighten it down until the bleeding stops. Okay. It's going to hurt, but it's until the bleeding stops. And then you call 911, get them to the hospital. Once you put it on, leave it on. Don't take it off. You don't loosen it up. Oh, is it still bleeding? Well, if you loosen it, it will start. No, just put it on, leave it on. And if you're going to carry one, carry two. Okay. Because if you have it bad enough, if you have a femoral bleed, that the femoral artery inside your thigh, sometimes you need two to stop the blood flow.
Yeah. So what do? You take the second one, put it over that?
Right above it. Yeah. You put the first one on and put the second one on right above it.
Right above it. Okay. That's good to know.
That's a good point, because the femoral artery is so deep within the muscle tissue that you do need to have a lot more pressure.
Right.
Yeah. So Kevin, basically what you're doing is you're taking the vessel and you're squeezing it up against the bone to cut the circulation off. Okay. And especially in the upper thigh where you have a lot of muscle. And now because of COVID, some of us have a little bit more fat than we would prefer. But you have to take all that mass and squish it down against the bone.
Okay.
Because you have three different femoral arteries in your thigh.
Okay.
You have more than just that one that you know of on the inside. Without an AMP clip. Anyway, you want to make sure you squeeze tight enough. And sometimes you'll need a second. Sometimes you'll need a third.
Okay.
It depends on the individual. But you want to have more than you think you need, because if that's happened, that's the worst case scenario.
That's bad.
Yes.
Right. That's pretty bad. And you want to get that as tight as possible.
You want to tighten it down until the bleeding stops.
Until the bleeding stops.
Yeah. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt like crazy.
But it's better because you'll be alive.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So Kevin mentioned something in this just a moment ago. He talked about gloves. I know we have some in there, babe. He said they should be on top. Obviously, they're not on top, or you would have put them out first. Do we have the gloves?
Okay, Kevin. We had gloves in this kit, but I think what happened to him was when COVID first hit, we were trying to get gloves together so that we could protect ourselves. So I'm pretty sure we stole from both and my med kit to get through till we could buy some gloves.
I remember that actually. When COVID hit, we ran out of our gloves that we had in the shop really quick, like actually couldn't get any more. Mm-hmm. Now we actually have four boxes of gloves. So we're doing really good. But before that was right. I remember.
So we need to restock with the gloves
But let's pay attention. Let's pay attention to something Kevin mentioned, though. It's very important. And I get it. And that is, your gloves should be on top, and you should have more than one pair, because you know you're going to cut a hole in it. Right, Kevin? I mean, you're going to tear it. I got chubby fingers, and when I put them things on, they rip on me. Right. So put them on top.
Just when you put them on, just don't try and rush to put them on.
Yeah.
Wow. Put them on. And here's a here's an inside tip. If you think you're going to get them really, really dirty, put on two pair.
Okay.
That way you can take a pair off. You'll and still, have a, pair
still
on,
have a pair on.
Because try this. In the Texas heat,
yep.
You're at working, take them off, and immediately try and put another glove on.
Well, yeah. Your hands are, yeah, it's hard. Right. Yep. I would agree with that.
Put on two from the very beginning. That way, if you need to take it off because they come, they get contaminated, let's say something happened and you wind up getting oil or hydraulic fluid or something from a vehicle on it, and you're trying to work on, you know, hold a Band-Aid on some or whatever, you want to take that glove off. Now you have a clean glove right underneath of it. You're not wasting any time.
Right.
You're good to go.
So if you had to make a recommendation on how many gloves that you would carry in the average Overlander's med kit, how many would you say? Best guess. Because I'm thinking you can't never have enough.
Put the box in the back seat and you're fine.
No, that's what I'm thinking, you know, because we're going to break down too and we need the gloves.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
So I have two boxes in my truck.
Wow. Okay.
And the second box, I just took a handful and I open up my bag and I just lay them right there on top, close the bag. So whenever I open the bag, the first thing is the gloves. I have to. It's also a reminder, put the gloves on, stupid.
Yeah. Right.
Then do your stuff.
There you go. So your med kit should have some gloves, and it should be laying on top. Outside of that, you probably should have a box or two, and especially with COVID going on, it probably wouldn't hurt to have two boxes.
Right.
Yeah, babe, what else we got in there? We still got quite a few things to go through.
Right. So I already brought up the little paper tape. We also have some the gauze tape.
Good.
In there, just a little roll.
Yeah, that's good and stuff. I love that stuff, by the way.
We have two different we have two different sizes of roll bandage.
Now, how many of those do you have?
These two right here.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding. I love it. I love it. Roll bandage times 20.
So like the cravat.
We have a lot of Band-Aids. We actually have a lot of Band-Aids, different size Band-Aids.
That's cool. So
he's like, that's cool.
In a 1 year period, if I go through five Band-Aids, that might be a lot.
But, you know, hold on a minute. You know, we laugh about that, right? We're not laughing at you, Kevin. We're laughing at ourselves.
We're laughing at ourselves.
But let's go with that.
So what I do, just to give you an idea, what I do is I take a Ziploc bag, just a normal size Ziploc bag.
Like a sandwich bag.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Take a Ziploc bag, and I'll take maybe five of each type of Band-Aid, and I'll put them in a Ziploc bag.
You don't need
Along with that Ziploc bag, I'll put the roll of tape, the paper tape. I'll put maybe a roll of cloth tape. Some of the alcohol swab or the alcohol wipes, and just build a little tiny, just a bag. The quick, nothing is life threatening. Just, oh, I got a boo-boo, grab that bag. And pretty much the majority of what you're going to need is going to be in that bag.
Okay.
That way you can just take the bag without having to haul your whole bag with you.
Right.
That's actually a good idea.
If you go on a hike. You don't need to bring your whole med kit. Grab that little bag.
Take that one little
bag. Put that in your pack or your pocket. And for most things, they'll take care of the majority of it. Again, depending on, we'll get into this later on, but depending on where you are, what time of the year, what the environment is. But most of the owies, boo-boos, put it in that Ziploc bag and you're good to go.
Yeah, and I think you hinted on something I really didn't think about, and this is one of the things that you do the greatest, Kevin, and that is you get people to think. And a lot of those medical kits that you buy on Amazon and things like that, they come with about 500 Band-Aids. And you mentioned something a while ago, you use about five per year. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds
about
right.
Some people might use seven.
I use more.
Some people use three. I mean, if you use 10, okay. Then put 10, but get the really good ones.
Right.
And the other thing is Band-Aids don't expire. But what happens is the adhesive loses its adhesion,
right,
especially if you leave them in the heat, if they're old, if they discolor. How many times have you picked up, you know, the Band-Aid and the paper holding the Band-Aid inside just separates?
Separates. It falls off.
Yeah. So now you no longer have a sterile Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Or sterile Band-Aid. Now it's, you know, you have any dirt in there? Well, let's, no, throw it out.
Okay.
So I just would buy a couple different sizes, you know, get the fingertip ones, get the wide ones, get some variation to them. Take 5 or 10 or however many you think you're going to need. Take a variation of them and just put them in the bag. Okay. If you want, and if you have the room, put the rest of them in a bigger bag and just shove them in with your box of gloves.
Yeah, put them aside somewhere.
That way you still have them, but
they're
not in the bag that you need, you know, immediately.
Right. So would you recommend putting the roll bandages in that same little bag, or would the roll bandages actually be
separate? I have my first aid kit, and I see my friend Sandy here, and she can attest to this. My personal first aid kit is a Ziploc bag.
Okay.
It's probably 10 feet from me. It's got a number of different things. I even have, you know, a couple of these in there just in case. I have, you know, a pair of tweezers, whatever you think you might need. Bingo.
We have tweezers.
A pair of tick tweezers. I'll let you finish going through to see what you have, and then we're almost through it.
So cool. Say there shouldn't be that much more left in there. I know there's a lot of. I thought there was a lot more wraps in that, so bandage wraps and stuff. But
and we also do have a rubber tourniquet. It's not a great tourniquet, but it's one of the little rubber tourniquets like they use when they draw blood.
It's called a tourniquet, but it doesn't really. It's not a standard tourniquet, and it's good to have. They come in handy for a whole bunch of other stuff too.
Right.
And there's only one. And Kevin recommends at least two. Right, Kevin? Okay.
Think about it this way. If you have one of them and it's nighttime and you don't have your headlamp, but you have a small pocket flashlight, but you need both hands. So the first thing people do is want to put it in their mouth.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing, because what happens is you put it in your mouth and you start salivating, and the minute you look down and something, you know, you don't want that to happen. You could take one of those, put it next to your hat, and take that and, you know, wrap it around your head. Right. Not to cut the circulation off, just to clear it long enough.
We had somebody ask about that.
Well, you try that, and it's dry rot. So now it just snaps in 5 pieces. It's no good.
Right.
You have a second one, they have a backup.
You got a backup. Okay. So 2 per bag. What else we got, babe?
We have a 2x2 and a 3x3 sterile gauze swabs.
Oh.
Okay. How many of those each do you have?
One of each.
Add those to the list.
And we got another ding.
Add it to the list. Okay.
We have a adhesive wound dressing.
Just one.
No. It's 2 different sizes. We have 2. One and 2.
So let me guess. This is one of those 500-piece medical kit. And
yeah, that's
495 pieces were Band-Aids, and then you get a few more things to make you feel good.
Yeah, so that's exactly why we're here, Kevin. That's exactly why we're here, because I think that most people, that's exactly what they do. And
that's,
I'm not going to lie, that's what we did. I mean, don't get me wrong. We changed it up when we first created the kit, but in the end, we started with that and just added the extra stuff that didn't come with it. You know what I mean? That we thought we needed.
Right.
You know?
So I always recommend, if you're going to bring a first aid kit, there's a couple of different things. Build your own kit. That way you know exactly what's in there. Mm-hmm. You don't have stuff in there taking up room you don't need, don't want, or don't know how to use. Right? There's no reason for you guys to carry one of these.
What is that?
This is a chest seal.
Oh, let me see. Chest seal. What is a chest seal?
Oh, yeah.
So this is if you get a stick that pokes into your lungs.
Ooh.
And you have a lung injury. you need to have training. You can't, I mean, you could, if you don't know what you're doing, you shouldn't use it.
Okay.
But there's no reason for you to have one of these in your kit because you don't know how to use it.
Right. Exactly.
Not that you can't get the training, which
I recommend,
but you want to have stuff that you think you're going to need. And like we talked about before, a lot of things go into building a first aid kit. It's not complicated. It doesn't take a lot, but you do have to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, are you going to Maine in the wintertime or Texas in the summertime? You're going to need a lot of the same core things, bandages, tape, you know, cravats, that kind of thing. But you're probably also going to need stuff specific to that environment. Right. Like a good set of tweezers. It's good for a whole bunch of stuff, including pulling out cactus spines or caterpillar spines, because in different parts of the country, you have caterpillars that are really fuzzy.
Right.
And only takes
those
one
are the
time.
Ones you don't want to touch. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you get back on the hike, you take your clothes off, you rinse them out and you put them on your clothesline and you go to sleep and you wake up and you don't check it. And now you grab it and you're going to stuff it in your kit. And now your arm is on fire because you didn't see the caterpillar. And now your whole arm has all those little tiny hairs.
Right.
And they're burning.
Yep.
So tweezers come in really handy for that. Or those of us who are follically challenged, bring a comb. Remember those old 80s style combs that we used to use, have in our back pocket?
Yep.
Those are great. In case you have a run in with a cactus, basically comb those cactus balls
right off. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, these are the things you're going to learn from Kevin, guys. I mean, you're definitely going to start thinking differently. There's a lot of great ideas here. And I think, you know, I'm going to reach out to Kevin later because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we're talking about traveling all the way around the United States and you're talking about covering a large amount of territory. You're going to be in the heat of Texas and then even if it's in summer, it's still cold in north. Right. And then you hit up the Rockies and then you're freezing. You're talking about hitting a lot of places,
a lot of different
fast.
Climates in a lot of different areas.
And each area has specific things you need to worry about. Right. Like we talked last week on the phone, there's regional things to be aware of. Like Texas has cactuses, Maine, unless somebody has one in their kitchen, probably not a whole lot of cactuses there.
Right.
I've never seen one and I've been to Maine. But you have other things. So each area you go to has their own unique things that you need to be aware about so you can plan for them.
Right.
Now, the likelihood of them happening, you know, forget the hold my beer and watch this. That's how accidents happen. So what we do is preventing accidents from happening. You're so far ahead of the game.
Right.
So, but if you are aware of it, you can plan for it. And then, hey, you know what? If we have room, if we have the space, we can probably bring an extra XYZ just in case. And I like to bring things that have multiple uses. So it's not just a single use item.
I like that.
I can use it for, you know, these. I have hundreds of these because you can use them for so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
You can never have too many of these, in my opinion.
Right, right.
It's not just first aid. I mean, you can, you know, I've had it where my tent pole broke. So I use these to, you know, wrap around the tent pole, secure them together to a tree, and then hang them. And it worked out great.
And that's the triangle bandages that Kevin is talking about there. That was his number one recommendation in the very beginning of this cast. You can't have too many of them.
That's right.
So, Kevin, out of everything that you've seen in our med kit, baby, is that all that's in the med kit pretty much for the most
part? Pretty much. We have our little med kit first aid guide. But,
I love the first aid guide, especially for, those guides are great for people that, I mean, they're great for people that actually read it in advance because most people carry a kit. But like Kevin, I think Kevin had mentioned, you don't know how to use most of the stuff that's in there. And I'm not going to lie. I only know how to use probably about 25% of that kit. I highly rely on Bobby, which is terrible because if she's in bad shape, I'm pretty much, babe, you're going to have a problem.
I'm going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's definitely not a good situation to be in. And I think that's where, you know, some of the courses, you know, that you offer over at your website, Kevin, you know, that the basic class is greatly beneficial to so many people. Yep. Right. I mean, if you're taking your family out, why not your entire family take these classes? It never hurts to be prepared. Right. It never hurts. Yeah. In a lot of different ways.
Class, we spend a little over an hour just on first aid kits, and we cover this and a whole lot more as well. But that's one thing in the basic class that everybody gets because it is so important. What I always recommend, and a lot of other people I talk to in the medical world, and go through your kit. Even if you're not going to be going on a big trip, go through your kit every 6 months. It doesn't take much. Put a movie on a Saturday, or, you know, while you're doing something, you can sit down, watch a movie, go through your kit. That does a couple of things. It remind you where things are. So when you need them in a hurry, you know where they are. Like before when I said, okay, close your eyes and
close your eyes.
Right? Yeah. So now you know where everything is. You know what you have. Oh, I forgot I'd put that in there. Or I forgot that's not in there because we took it out. Okay, I need to put that back in there.
Right.
And also go through and find out if you have anything that does expire, make a list, you can replace it. Or, oh, I forgot the last time I used this a year and a half ago, I forgot that we went through all these cravats or triangular bandages or 4x4s, or, and we'll get to the missing stuff here in a minute. But I forgot we used those for, may not be even a medical event, just for something. I need to add more to it.
Right.
But you'll know where everything is. And then if you want to change it up, hey, you know what? I'm going to add this new thing because I took a first aid class and now I know how to use this other item. I'm going to add this to my kit. Okay. Sorry. People are watching the live stream and texting me at the same time.
Tell them we said hi, Kevin. Tell them we said hi.
So every 6 months, it reminds you what you have, reminds you what you don't have. You can look for things that are expired, or sometimes things leak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I got to clean out the entire kit.
Right.
It's a good thing I found this out before I really needed it.
Yeah. So that's a valid point. Very valid point.
Right.
And then again, depending on what you're going to use it for, like I have a standard kit that I keep in my truck. There's nothing in there that's affected by heat. There's no medications. It's a lot of 4x4s, 2x2s, 6x6s, cravats, a whole bunch of stuff that it's okay being left out in the Texas heat. It's fine. But then I have individual first aid kits, like my little Ziploc baggie that I have it's a for a specific person. That's for the little nicks and cuts and boo-boos.
The little stuff, right.
Right. Then I have my trauma bag, which is a little bit bigger. If I know, hey, I'm going to be going for a week and there's going to be a group of us and it's going to be me and four or five other people and nobody else is bringing their stuff, I'm going to be prepared and bring just in case.
Right.
Because nothing is worse than, hey, you don't, accidents are never planned for. They just kind of happen. But I'd rather have it and never need it. And if I have the room, I'll bring it. I have no problem with that. But I know exactly where everything is. I know the last time I used something. I know when I replaced it. But just the mindset. And going back to what I said before, you may need things. Hey, this week, I'm going to do this trail out in Arizona. Cool. I'm going to bring the stuff specific to that region.
Where you're at, right? Okay.
Right? So I'm going to throw a few extra bandanas, just normal, everyday. You know, a bandana. And why am I going to bring, and this is clean, why am I going to bring extra bandanas? Well, because it's hot there. And I can wet this, wrap it around my neck, because the two arteries that cool your brain are right here. You keep them cool, it keeps your brain cool. Okay, prevent heat injuries. I'm not going to need them when I'm in Maine in January.
Right.
No.
So, you know, you can go through it and region or location specific things that I wouldn't normally have, I can then add them to it or put them in a separate bag altogether.
Right.
It depends on what bag you're bringing.
Right.
You know, you get that small bag there. There's other bags that are a little bit bigger, you know, to I don't know if you can see this.
That's a big bag, Kevin. You guys can't see this unless you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, but that's a big bag.
So this is a big bag. This has, you know, this is my trauma kit.
Wow.
So
that's when you, that's when you know what you're doing. You carry a backpack. Kevin, I carry a backpack that big. You know what's in it? Two drones. Two drones. Not a drama kit.
But again, that's a specialized kit.
Yeah, exactly.
Not everyone needs to have something like that. Again, and you don't need to bring the kitchen sink with you.
Right.
Bring what you think you're going to need. Bring stuff, you know, bring extra of a certain few things. But then there's some things that weren't in your kit. I just want to mention kind of really quick.
Please do.
4x4 gauze pads. You can get a box of them from CVS for a couple dollars. Bring them. I mean, they're you have bandages and you have, excuse me. You have dressings and you have bandages. Dressings are sterile. Bandages are not. So think about it. You have a little cut on your arm that just won't stop bleeding.
Right. Okay.
Fold those up, tape those to it. You're going to go through those a lot faster than you think. Now, that's not something that you need to stop what you're doing to go to the hospital for, but it's just annoying, especially when you get blood over all your clothes and everything else. No, but well, you're going to go through a ton of them.
Yeah.
So 4x4s, again, they're cheap. They smush really easy. Pack them in there right along with the cravats. Excuse me. Tape. Have a good couple rolls of the thick tape. Not that thick tape, but a thicker roll.
Yeah, so
Instead of 3 feet of tape, now you have maybe 15 feet of tape. Different sizes, different widths, different, you know, paper, cloth, whatever. And make sure you test that to make sure that nobody is allergic to it, because there are tape allergies as well as latex allergies. So when you get gloves, make sure you get the nitrile gloves, not latex gloves.
Right. Yeah, that's what we get.
Especially if you put it on and you're helping somebody else and you touch them.
You never know if they have an allergy.
Yeah, they have an allergy that you didn't know about. Maybe they didn't even know about. But now you touching them, put them in the anaphylaxis, that's not a good thing.
Right.
And anaphylaxis is an allergic shock, which they can die from if not treated properly. So, but the basic stuff, you don't need to go out and spend $1 million. You don't have to spend $200 on a trauma bag like I did. You can spend a little bit of money, but put your own kit together so you know exactly what's in there. You know, I know how to use it. And the cool thing is, if you have spare or expired stuff, use that for practicing.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about practicing. You take it out and you replace it, right?
Take out the old
stuff. Check it every 6 months.
Keep the old stuff.
Yeah.
And use that for practicing.
Yeah.
Now
it's really basic stuff. Right. Like the bandages that he was talking about for putting on a sling and the cravats and, you know, using that to try different ways of using it so that if something does happen, then you are prepared.
Right.
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah, that's so I want to call out a couple of comments real fast. Real quick, Cody mentioned it was in the 40s at night in the Rockies 3 weeks ago. And then the day I came out of the forest, it snowed. Be prepared for the weather to turn.
Exactly.
Very valid points. Very valid points.
Yeah.
And I think our trip around the United States, we're probably going to carry a little bit more than we need to in most cases. And that's just because, you know, I mean, we're going to a lot of different territories. Right. Cody asked a specific question for Kevin here. Kevin, I hope this you understand this better than I do. Are there FACS, FAKs, for sale on your site? I'm not sure.
FAK is a first aid kit.
Oh, first aid kit. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Okay.
And IFAC is an individual first aid kit.
Okay.
I don't sell equipment on my website, mainly because there's 1,000 other people who sell good quality stuff. I don't need to do that. I'm all about the training part of it.
Cody. So we'll talk to Kevin about that later.
There may be, if you watched last week's episode, there may be something coming up in the future where there may be something that is offered. We haven't talked about that yet, really, but that might be a thing in the near future.
Yeah, so we do limited runs of our Molly kits right here on Bubba's Garage. We only do those runs once a year. I think we still have any in stock? I think we do. Just very few. We sold out quite a bit. Yeah. I think the only thing we have left is a khaki. We run two different color combinations, the black Molly kits as well as the khakis. So maybe we'll reach out to Kevin because, I mean, obviously I'm going to be changing up my Molly kit here really soon. And that Molly kit is going to be matching in line a little bit with what Kevin has mentioned right here on the live stream tonight. And guys, I mean, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I know we're over our time, so I greatly apologize, but I want to mention a couple of things. There's no way we're going to be able to cover everything. There's so many different things that we want to talk about here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask one more question, Kevin, if you don't mind. So you mentioned 4x4 gauze pads. That was something that was missing from our kit here tonight. Is there anything else that you would, in your day-to-day carry, right, you would recommend that we're missing from this outside of kind of expanding on what we already talked about?
So you have a pair of tweezers. I would add a pair of tick tweezers. They're specifically for ticks.
But especially in Texas.
Right.
Better in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Maine. I mean, ticks are pretty much now in all 50 states. I think they're even, and in fact, I know they're in parts of Alaska, not all of Alaska, but they are in parts of Alaska. That was last year. There's a group who does research in that, and the ticks are now in all 50 states.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So you can't go wrong with tick tweezers across the United States.
And they're about that big.
Yeah, they're a little bitty.
Yeah.
They're not going to take up a lot of space at all.
Right.
Yeah. So just go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, if you're going to buy gear from reputable sources, some of the stuff that comes up on the market seems really cool. And, oh, wow, that's really neat. There was a product that came out last year. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. They contacted me and said, hey, can we send you, a box of them, use them for your class and give us your feedback. Hey, I'll look at them. I can't guarantee anything aside from I'll look at them. Right. And then I got to it's a really nice idea for a hospital setting.
Okay. Not
for the outdoors setting.
Initially
it seemed like a pretty good idea, but then I took a step back and was actually thinking about it. And I'm not going to mention the product because I'm not bashing the product, but again, the right tool for the right job. This is a great thing. Its original use case was for hospital rooms, emergency rooms, not for the outdoors. It works great in the hospital environment. Not so great in the outdoors.
Right. Well, and you mentioned something early in this conversation is reusable. You mentioned on the triangle bandages, they have multiple purposes. And I think in the outdoor world, when you're traveling across the United States, or even if you're going to a destination, multiple uses is beneficial, especially in the overlanding crowd.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You can carry a whole heck of a lot less, but actually carry a lot more.
Right. I like to carry. I mean, there's certain things that only have one single purpose and you can't really get around them. But for everything else, I like to carry things that have multiple purposes. It saves space, weight, and I don't have to bring as much stuff with me.
Right.
Some things you kind of have to, like, shears are for cutting. There's really not a whole lot else you can do. I mean, there may be, but they're primarily for cutting. It's a cutting tool.
Right.
Well, the cutting can mean anything from, cutting the jeans or whatever. Yeah.
Cutting jeans, cutting a 50 cord, another cutting thing in your kit. Yeah. A whole bunch of cutting one of these to make strips to repair your awning.
Right.
Yeah.
Or your tent or whatever. They're great.
So I want to recap real quick. So Kevin went through our kit. I would say we got about 50% dings, right? So we're probably good and bad in this case. We won some and we lost some.
So we were horrible, but we didn't get two thumbs up, right?
Yeah. You have a kit. You knew for the most part what was in it, what was not in it. It's for the most part current. It just needs a little bit of work, which is fine. That's nothing. That's a good thing. The good thing is you have identified, hey, we don't have any of X, Y, Z. We should probably get that. And we don't need it today. We'll need it for a few weeks, a month from now. That's fine. The worst part is getting out there and needing it and realizing you don't have it.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah. So Kevin mentioned some of the things that we need desperately or we need to improve on. We'll call it that, is the triangle bandages. We need to get some triangle bandages, and we need to get as many as we're willing to carry. They're greatly beneficial in a multitude of different ways, not just a medical or first aid. Water gel is highly recommended, or burn gel of some sort is highly recommended. And more than one, possibly, right? I mean, you never want just one of.
They have different kits you can get. Okay. Their general kit is, it's basically comes in a plastic box, and it has a number of different things in there to cover the majority of the incidents you're going to run into. It has a little box of the individuals. So if you're home and you burn your finger on your griddle,
It has
some 4x4s and some 6x6s that are pre-soaked with the water gel.
Oh, stuff. Awesome.
Perfect. And then it has one or two like 10x12 sheets of it for a major torso burn.
Right.
But again, if it's a big enough burn, you're going to want to put that on and then immediately call 911 and get that person to medical treatment.
Get them taken care of.
Yeah.
Right.
Another one of the things that were mentioned here is the not just a blanket, but a good emergency
blanket. A better blanket.
Not one that's going to be your flag. Nothing like that. Well, at least one good blanket, right, Kevin?
I have a subscription where I get stuff sent to me to try it out. But I've seen these in stores, and these are $15-$20.
Yeah, it's not bad.
There's no expiration date, and get a couple of these.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff we mentioned here tonight aren't very expensive. I mean, you could easily put together probably one of the best first aid kits you would have, and you'd actually use most of it if you needed it for probably well less than $50 for the most part.
A lot less. And put it in a Ziploc baggie.
Yep. Man, there you go.
Make a couple of them.
Yeah.
Put it in a Ziploc bag, and you will not have to buy one of these.
you can put the Ziploc baggie in that.
Yeah, you can.
So if you go for a 1 mile hike, you may not need that entire kit.
You just take the one.
Take the Ziploc baggie with you to take care of the majority of stuff. If you're going to be a mile away, don't go 5 miles then.
Right.
Or don't go 20 miles, you know.
If you're going to go 20 miles, go ahead and grab the whole kit. It is a rip away. It will rip right off of your Molly kit. So you'll be good with that. Yeah. So, you know, Kevin mentioned the Ziploc bag, put all those things in your Ziploc bag. Don't overdo your Band-Aids. Get what you think you need. Put those in a variety of different sizes in those Ziploc bags. Let's see what else I got here. Make sure gloves, right? So, and
the gloves.
You got to make sure, babe, and I'm looking at you primarily because you need to make, we need to make sure they're on top. if we got to dig for them, it's kind of
right.
And something else Kevin mentioned here tonight on the live stream, if you're just now catching up, and that is, you need to know where your stuff is at and need to know how to use it. Right. So, these
and
are
practice.
And practice. And these are some of the things you're going to learn in Kevin's basic course, which I think is beneficial for a lot of different people. Let's see what else I got here. Roll bandages. You have as many as you can get, right? And gauze pads and 4x4 gauze pads were the missing items from our kit, as well as tick tweezers. And then we should have somewhat of a decent trip to make it around the United States. Would you say so, Kevin? I think we're,
yeah, I mean, and again, a lot of it is being prepared,
right?
Which leads me into this, before we forget, I just happened to see the little scrolly thing in the bottom. So there's a thing called a trip planner. So you plan your trip. That includes letting people know, hey, we're going to be here. We should be back on this date, or we're going to call you at these certain times and places to kind of check in just to make sure that you know we're still okay. I have that available on my on my website. And if you go to, and I actually made a free one. If you go to wildsafety.com/Bubba's Garage, either way, but that way you can print it out. It's a fillable PDF. You can fill all the information out there. It's really simple. Print off two copies and leave it with two people who don't live together. That way, if one person forgets all about you, you have a backup.
And so that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. That way it's kind of like a really cheap insurance policy. If I know, hey, I live alone. If I'm going to go out and go on a hike, hit the trailhead, I plan on being gone for maybe just a few hours. But what happens if I don't tell anybody where I go, what time I'm expected back, and I never come back? No one's going to know what happened to me, where I am, when I left. They're not going to know where to look. So it's a free insurance policy.
And this is your trip planner, right? So this trip planner you want to give out to multiple people, more than one, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys can get that over at Kevin's website. Kevin, you gave me a different URL than the one that I have on the screen, so I greatly apologize. Thank you so much for having the wildsafety.com. I think it was /Bubba's Garage. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Jump over to Kevin's website and pull down that trip planner. If you're looking at planning a trip, go over it and see if it helps you. It's completely free. It hurts you by nothing, right? So definitely go out, check that out. Now I want to say a couple of other things real fast as we wrap this episode up here tonight. And that is, we hope to do episodes like this with Kevin once every few weeks or so. So reach out to Kevin over at wildlifesafety.com or reach over to myself at bubbasgarage.tv. Send up some questions or comments that you might have. We'll be doing this again. We'll be getting into more detail, or maybe a specific topic that you're interested in, or a region for that matter. Kevin's going to offer some of his information or expertise, I would say. I mean, 40 years worth of expertise versus my zero. Right. I think you're going to get it better from Kevin. So
I read a book once.
He's got a book. I just got a website. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're learning each and every day right here on Bubba's Garage. And that's what we do. Every day we're learning something new. So Kevin, I want to say thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It was a pleasure to actually I've learned so much here tonight that, I did take notes. We're going to improve on our med kits, and we currently run 3 med kits, 1 here at the house and 2 in our Jeep. So we're going to be updating those med kits here really soon. So, guys, again, thank all of y'all so much for joining us here tonight. Kevin, it was a great pleasure. Kevin, any last words that you have for everybody out there?
Yes. So if you want to know more information, how to get a hold of me, social media, all that good stuff, my website is wildsafety.com. I have links to most of my social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I forget now what's all there. I need to update the website. I know that I've been kind of busy. I am working on some online courses that I hope to be having out for you in the next year month, coming out in the next few months. I will be having a sign up on the website so that if that sounds like something you're going to be interested in, you can go there, sign up to get on my mailing list for these courses, because when they do come out, if you're on the mailing list, you'll get a special discount that won't be available to the public, only for people on the mailing list.
Outstanding.
I'll be working on getting that done this weekend. So hopefully by Monday that'll be up and there'll be a link to it somewhere. But I'll make it really easy to find. And the first one, just to give a little bit of a teaser, the first one has to do with locator beacons and spot devices and satellite phones and
communications.
The differences, that comes up pretty much in every class I've done for the past 15, 20 years. What's the difference between that and that? So this class kind of goes through all of those details in depth, when to use one over the other, when to use both.
Wow.
Real life situations, just the whole, it's going to be packed with a whole bunch of information. There's so much information, it's taken me a little while to put it all together and make it in a good format and presentable. Wow. But if you get on the mailing list, you'll get a discount.
Yeah. So guys, keep that in mind. Go check out Kevin at wildsafety.com again. He's got a lot of different things he's working on. Some of those he's not going to share with you today, but if you will stay tuned in the near future, right here on Bubba's Garage, we'll have some updates, and all of the information that Kevin just mentioned will be in the description down below. Once we post and update our podcast and our streams here, just give it about 24 hours. All those links will be there in the description as well. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up. Guys, thanks so much for joining us here tonight. You guys like this video, do me a favor. Smash the crap out of the like button. Show Kevin some Bubba love, if you will. And until next time, we'll see you on the flip side. Good night, everybody.
Thanks again, guys.